Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The Old Testament law, legalism, trying to perform and earn God's favor is death. It kills you. Thank you for both of those. That's right. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me give you some scriptures on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 6, I wish I had time to put all of this in its context because these are powerful passages. In verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Notice that the letter, talking about the Old Testament law, kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, this is referring to the Old Testament law, the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. What's that talking about? The Ten Commandments, where God wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger on the stones. It calls it, the New Testament, the Bible, calls the law death. I know some of you don't like this, but I'm reading Scripture to you. The ministration of death. Are you saying that the law is sin? No, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known that you weren't supposed to covet if the law hadn't said, thou shalt not covet. So Paul's saying that he wasn't against the law. I'm not against the law. The law had a purpose. The law was to bring a self-righteous person to their knees so that you would recognize God's demands are higher than what you can meet. But the ultimate purpose of the law wasn't to give you life. It was to give you death. It was to condemn you. It was to defeat you. It was to bring you to your knees, to the end of yourself. It wasn't life-giving. It was death-giving. It brought condemnation. The purpose of the law was to condemn you. It's going to say that right here in these verses. And so I'm not against the law. If you use the law for what it was intended for, the law is a good thing. You know, I had an instance in one of my services. I was in Houston, Texas. There's about 300 people in a Holiday Inn, and I was preaching, and a guy came in, stood at the back for a while, and eventually he interrupted me and started yelling at me while I was preaching, and the guy was drunk or either high on dope. I don't know which it was, but he was out of it. He wasn't all there, and I tried to talk to him, and he wouldn't listen, and so I just took authority over him and commanded him to shut up and sit down in the name of Jesus. And he just plopped right down in a chair. And I went ahead and finished the service, and after the service was over, he came down front, and I started talking to him, and I started telling him about the goodness of God. I said, God loves you. God wants to set you free. God can change your life. And I told him about the goodness of God. But this guy was so out of it. He was so into New Age, or I'm not sure exactly what he was into, but he started saying, I'm God. We're all God. God is in the ceiling. God is in the floor. And I don't know what he was into, but it was weird. And I knew he wasn't God. And so you know what I did? The Bible says, let me keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. I'm coming back to that. But look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it is. In verse 6, it says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. There is a right use for the law. What is the use of the law? Again, I could teach on this in more detail, but it's to condemn, it's to kill. It's to bring you to the end of yourself. It's to bring you out of self-righteousness and show you that you need a Savior. The purpose of the law is to beat you up so that you'll quit trusting in yourself and to bring you to the end of yourself. It says, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Who's righteous? any person that has been born again. You have been made the righteousness of God. The law is not for a New Testament believer. It's for a person before they get born again to show them that you can't trust in your own goodness. You need a Savior because you'll never match up to this standard. So the law is meant to bring you to a place of acknowledging Jesus as your Savior. But once you come to Jesus and you're made righteous, the law isn't for you anymore. So this man who was saying he was God, I changed my approach. And instead of telling him God loves you and God can provide something, I started saying, you think you're God? You are a stink in the nostrils of God. And I started using Scripture like a club. And I started beating this guy up and saying, man, you are arrogant. And I used Scriptures about pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I took the Word of God and just beat this guy to a pulp. And within minutes, this guy who had just moments before been saying that he was God was sitting there crying saying, oh God, have mercy on me. That's the purpose of the law. The law is for self-righteous people to bring you to the end of thinking that you could ever be good enough. How arrogant a person is to think that there's something you can do that would put you into God's class and make you worthy of God using you. The only thing that we ever have that allowed us to enter into the holiest is the blood of Jesus. It's what Jesus did for us, not what you do for God. That's the purpose of the law. Amen. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. That's talking about the Ten Commandments. It's calling it death. In the New Testament, life is consistent with Jesus. Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. In John chapter 1, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Life is associated with God. Death is associated with the devil. And yet, the law is a ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. You know, every time I teach on this, there are some people that are just so overwhelmed, and they say, you can't be saying that the Old Testament law should be passed away. We shouldn't be living under it. And in an attempt to salvage the Old Testament law, they'll come back and say, well, the ceremonial law has been done away with. In other words, we don't observe the feast days and the dietary laws, and we don't any longer, keep Yom Kippur and all of these kind of things, but you still have to keep the basic law, the Ten Commandments. Look at this verse again. The ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. That is not talking about the ceremonial law. That is talking about the Ten Commandments. Calls it a ministration of death. And it says, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory, which was to be done away. I mean, if words mean anything, this is talking about the Ten Commandments. They were death. They served a purpose to bring you to the end of yourself. But they weren't made for the righteous, and it has passed away. It is to be done away. In verse 8, it says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory. Again, talking about the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law's purpose was to condemn you, to make you feel guilty. It's where your condemnation comes from, is this standard of right and wrong. And if you've really studied the Old Testament, it not only says what's right and wrong, but it prescribes a punishment for every time you miss it. And the punishment is death. And the only way that you could escape it in the Old Testament is to come and bring a sacrifice and trust in the sacrifice. Nobody ever kept the law. Nobody ever earned favor with God. The law was to drive you to the end of self-righteousness and make you offer a sacrifice, which was only a picture and a shadow of the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus that was to come. So the Old Testament pictures and shadows had to be repeated over and over, but a point that was made, I talked about it last night, I'm going to make it even more tonight or tomorrow whenever I cover it. It will talk about how that Jesus once for all dealt with your sins. It doesn't have to be redone over and over and over. The sin barrier, the separation, the veil has been split between us and God, and we now have access to enter, boldness to enter into the holiest. Man, what a tremendous statement. So in verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation, talking about the Old Testament law, specifically the Ten Commandments, if that was be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that, the Old Testament law, was which was made glorious, talking about the Old Testament law, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, compared to what you and I have provided for us, the Old Testament law and the Old Testament way of relating unto God doesn't even have anything good in it compared to how good our covenant is. The Old Testament figures, it says over in one of the books of Peter, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that these prophets and holy men longed and searched and inquired diligently what manner of time the prophecies we're talking about. They longed for what you and I have. Abraham, Moses, David, all of these people would have given anything to have what you and I have. Jesus even said this in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it's verse 11 or 12. He said, among them that is born of women, there hath never risen a greater than John the Baptist. That means John the Baptist was greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than Abraham, greater than David, greater than anybody, and yet it goes on to say, nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't a New Testament saint. He was before the new covenant was put into effect. He was the greatest person that ever lived under the old covenant, and yet if you are the sorriest saint in this room, if you are the least victorious Christian that has ever lived, you're greater than John the Baptist, greater than Moses, greater than Elijah. What you have on the inside of you is greater than what any Old Testament person has ever had.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-153 titled, The Law Has Power, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
It's difficult for me to share some of these truths because it's broken into little segments, and that's the reason we encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. But you know, even those materials, there is just so much. This is a revelation that I've got hundreds of hours sharing these truths, and really the best way I have to share this with people is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the college here in Colorado Springs, but we have extension schools, I think 6 extension schools throughout the U.S., 4 outside of the U.S., but we also have correspondence that you can get DVDs and study. And so there's a lot more material available. I encourage you to call and join up with our Charis Bible College today.